Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. My name is Mike Gibb. I run AccountsRecovery.net, and I'm excited to bring you today's webinar on a very interesting and important topic, and that is government contracts, which ones are coming soon, which is being brought to you by MyGovWatch.com. There is a pipeline of collection contract opportunities from local, state, and the federal government that should interest collection agencies of all shapes and sizes. Today, we're sharing a brief overview of which debt collection contracts in higher education, healthcare, utility, and other areas of government are expected to be out for bid soon, and how to use public information to figure out if you should try to meet decision makers in advance of the bid in the first place. We're fortunate to have Nick Bernardo, from MyGovWatch to share his insights and help companies improve their RFP response rates. As I mentioned, this webinar is being generously sponsored by MyGovWatch.com. You'll get the chance to hear more about them throughout our program today. I want to take a quick minute and say a few words about AccountsRecovery.net. AccountsRecovery.net is a news and information platform for the armed industry. The site publishes unique and curated content, maintains a number of email newsletters, hosts webinars like this one, and offers a number of exciting podcasts for the armed industry. The site is free for anyone in the industry to use, and it's a great resource of news and insights to help educate and inform. I hope you'll all spend a few minutes every day checking out what it has to offer. Now let me tell you a little bit about today's speaker. Nick Bernardo is and has been president of MyGovWatch.com, the DBA of Net Gain Marketing since 2003. The MyGovWatch.com portal is the company's flagship service offering, and serves some of the best known large and small companies and in the collection industry today. The 2018 relaunch of the site for the first time allows anyone to create a free account with pay-as-you-go options or to access detailed information on government contracts on an unlimited basis. Nick's 20-year career includes broad-based experience in B2B marketing, information services development, professional services marketing, third-party reselling, and nonprofit fundraising. He is also the managing member of FedCetera, a business development organization, as the term is used in federal regulations, that works with companies seeking to participate in federal contracting and subcontracting opportunities in collections. The format for today's webinar will be a presentation from Nick. We are very much going to be encouraging everybody to participate and submit questions and share their insights as we go through our program today. And to do that, please enter it. You can use the question Q&A tab on your Zoom webinar control panel. This event is being recorded, and a recording will be made available later today or by tomorrow morning on accountsrecovery.net. With that, let me introduce Nick Bernardo to begin his presentation. Nick?
Hey, Mike, can you hear me loud and clear?
Yeah, all good.
It always amazes me how you manage to memorize every single word of that introduction, Mike. That's just great.
I know, right? I've been working for hours on that. Can't tell I was reading or anything.
Hey, thank you so much for the opportunity once again, and thank you to everyone who made today's call and signed up. I know it's not always easy to take an hour out during the week, but as promised by the marketing that went out on this event, there will be actual leads provided during this event. So at a minimum, you know, you'll be looking at a few different opportunities in the government space that will actually lead to procurements in the next several months. So I decided to do something for the first time on this teleseminar that we haven't done before. And Mike already mentioned how MyGovWatch is the only site that is giving out leads for free. So there are lots of websites you can use and pay for the lead. So we're giving away that same information for free, and we're monetizing other things. But what we're going to be doing is we're going to be giving out participation trophies on this teleseminar or as a result of this teleseminar. And the form of the participation trophies will be this. So for anyone who's on the call today, who creates a free account on the site in the next 24 hours after the call, we will populate your account with 10 free credits on the site, and you can actually access things on the site and get some functionality just for participating here in any level whatsoever. And whoever participates the most, because I'm gonna try to make this interactive, we will give 20 credits on the site. So what I'd like to do, and by the way, before I get into the meat of the presentation, I just want to encourage you, feel free to use the interface to submit questions. And anytime we can have a stopping point and answer a question, we will do that. I mean, certainly we'll do some Q&A at the end, but if we can do it during the presentation, we will do that as well. So don't hesitate, and Mike will always be able to help remind me if there's a question that hasn't been answered. So what I'd like to do, I'm going to share a different app, and let me do that, and it's just Microsoft Word. Okay, things to know before pursuing a sale. So in looking at the attendees in today's session, I know that there are some significantly sized companies on this call. I know that there are some more boutique operators on this call as well, but you all have the same challenge with business development, right? The goal is to make a sale, and as we know, information is power. The more information you have, the more likely it is that you have a chance of making a sale in the first place. So what I'd like to ask, if you could use the chat feature on the app, tell me some things that you would like to know before pursuing a sale, whether it's in government or not. So I'm actually asking, could you please help me make this an interactive teleseminar and just use the chat feature and just tell me anything, type anything into the chat box that you would like to know before pursuing a sale?
If you don't see a chat box by chance, you could also submit it as a question. If you hit the Q&A button on your webinar Zoom control panel and submit a question, we'll be able to see it that way as well.
And so, Mike, what I'll do is, as people are thinking of things they'd like to know in order to make a sale, I'm just going to encourage you to maybe offer up the first two or three things that you would like to know.
What would I like to know before a sale? That is a very good question. What's of the most interest to me personally is, you know, if there's a way to sort of figure out how, you know, if this company has done something like this in the past, or, you know, how willing, you know, they're going to be, how receptive they're going to be to my inquiry.
All right, there are just a couple of items.
And then we've got a couple more. We've got the company's past performance.
Okay.
Okay,
and I'm just going to ask this question, and I can see the questions too now, Mike, and I'm going to try to do this at the same time. So to Sean, the company's past performance, if you could just add a little bit more. Which company do you mean? Do you mean the company is performing the service today? So just clarify that a little bit. So I'm just going to type in a few questions that came after that. So these are all. These are all great things that we should all want to know when we're trying to make any sale. And I think these are a good cross-section of things that anyone should want to know, especially in this industry, in terms of what anyone should want to know prior to even bothering to pick up the phone, even bothering to try to get a meeting, or even bothering to send an email. Because as we all know, depending on the answers to these questions, if you don't get the answers that you like at this stage, you are not going to waste your time. If you get the answer, does the target use the service now? If they use the service, yes. Maybe you know that they probably would not be receptive. Maybe you know that their recovery is greater than what you typically provide. Maybe you know the rates are lower than what you would typically offer. Maybe you know that everybody and their brother and sister knows that there is an opportunity. Maybe you know they already have 6 vendors. Maybe you know that it's only a procedural reason why they're looking at new vendors now, and they've had the same vendor for 30 years. And maybe you know they have an in-house collection department. So if you had all of those answers, right, then you wouldn't waste your time. And we all know, we all understand the definition of what an opportunity cost is. So if you could waste a half hour on 10 prospects, a half hour each, researching and finding out about different prospects, you could spend days and days and weeks of your year studying opportunities that are not really opportunities in the first place. As we know, it can be very hard to get that information in the private sector. Well, as it turns out, it's also difficult to get that information in the public sector, but it turns out there is a way to get that information. So I'm just going to close the question box right now, and we're going to go back to some of those questions as we look at those, a few of the opportunities we're going to look at today. So in the public sector, you are able to find out many of those things because by and large, public opportunities grant members of the public, and that includes everybody on this call, access to certain types of documents that may contain information giving you the answers to those questions. So if you think of it this way, you have the ability to access this information, but there's a tremendous time investment in getting it. And that's simply put why people use our website, because they know we're getting this information. So instead of them investing maybe 3 or 4 hours on thousands of contracts to know what's going on with them, they simply log in to see what's going on. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at 4 contracts today. I tried to pick a cross-section of different contracts and just take a look at what kind of information is out there if you choose to go pursue it, either through your own efforts or by simply signing onto the site and using it either through pay-as-you-go credits or through an ongoing contract. So on the site, we do have a tool that lists out all of the upcoming bids. And these are sorted by when we think they must take action in order to get new contracts in place. So all of these are pre-existing contracts. There are often contracts that are added to our site where we come to find out it's a completely new initiative. But if you think about it, the only way to know that procurements are coming in the public space is if they currently buy the service. So there are new procurements on the site that it's the first time they've outsourced, but this is a list of things where they have a history of outsourcing, so you have that question answered already. And this could be anything from a state taxing entity, counties, cities, utility companies that are owned publicly, publicly run healthcare facilities, so university healthcare systems, all the way down to school districts and miscellaneous type opportunities. So I just picked out 4. And I tried to pick them out in different parts of the country. This one just happens to be in the state where we operate. I'm just outside of Philadelphia in New Jersey. And this is a buyer that's about an hour from our office. And this is a little township called Egg Harbor Township, New Jersey. So what I want to do is go back to the list of questions. And I want to take a look and see, does the target use the service now? Yes. How receptive will they be to my inquiry? Who else is interested? How many vendors do they have? And let's just try to look at a few of these items. And Mike, are you still seeing the browser?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So what we do as a part of tracking contracts, we put in when we think the bid will be coming out again based on when they put it out last time. So we know the last time this came out was March of 2015. And we know that the contract was expected to start in June of that year. So by looking at what the dates of the contract ended up being, we're able to reverse engineer when we think they would be likely to start a procurement. And in this case, we think that they're likely to start one by March of next year. And so what we're able to do is go to that procurement on the site. And this just happens to be the one from 2015. If you look at other buyers, you might see 5 or 6 different purchasing activities, or you might see 2 or 3 different iterations of the same opportunity. And so for this one, Egg Harbor Township, we know that they were out for bid in 2015. And what we try to do every time out is put in some manual handwritten notes on what we know about the historical purchasing activity of the buyer for this activity. So they first put it out for bid in 2012, it was a 5-year contract. They put out the 2015 RFP 2 years before that it was expected for the 2012 awards and contracts were expected to expire. So that told us in 2015 it was a real opportunity because they didn't have to go to an RFP. They did it early, and that was a buying sign. And it looks like we do have a state cap of 22% as an add-on for this type of debt in New Jersey. They had capital recovery systems in 2012, but in 2015, they awarded to a company called TaxServe at 20%. So right off the bat, if you know that something is coming out in March, you know, A, that this buyer is not afraid to pull the trigger and do a new bid if they're not happy with the service they're getting. And B, you know that they had a vendor in 2012 through 2015, and then they fired that vendor and did a new bid and hired a company by the name of TaxServe. So when we open up the documents that are available in the public record about this contract, what we see are names of people. So this is a piece of internal correspondence between or among public officials. We see the names of the bidders, and we see the rates that those companies offered at that time. And I was looking at this contract, and I sort of found out just by poking around a little bit that the mayor of Egg Harbor Township was in place in 2012 and 2015, but more recently there was an election, there's a new mayor in place. But when you start poking around and looking at the names that are available in these documents, you find out that this person, Peter Miller, has been a township administrator in Egg Harbor Township for more than 30 years. So what I would suggest is that if you were going to start a process of trying to find out, are they happy with TaxServe, that would be where you would start. So then when you look at some of the other materials available from that bid process, you find out that the rates were right around 20%. And so oftentimes, as some may know on this call, the vendors will just default to the state cap on this particular type of contract. This is court debt, and that's a state statute that allows the vendor to add 22%. And only one company thought, well, maybe we should just drop it down a bit, and they put it to 20%. So then what you find out as you read further along is that two of the bidders bid 22%, and the other bid 20, and that they noticed that, or they sort of made it a judgment, and this is in the sort of bottom paragraph here, that one company who offered 20%, they saw that as beneficial to the delinquent payer, because even though the township is not paying that fee, they saw that as a benefit to their constituents. So even if it was just 2 points, they saw it as a benefit. So that's something that you can take away if you're planning to bid on this contract as it comes out later this year. And let me just pause for a second, take a drink, and see if there are questions. We see a question, are they only going to go by the lowest rate? And that might have been a question asked in terms of the beginning part of this call. Well, yes, sometimes they will, but in this case, we clearly see that they have a slight preference for the rate, but they have hired companies in the past that did charge the full 22%. So Capital Recovery, I believe, had it at 22%. So what we do is we put in the database any of the dollar amounts or any of the statistics related to the portfolio. We just put that in a discrete screen so you can see, for example, you know, what's the backlog, how many accounts do they have on a one-time basis, how many accounts do they typically give out, what's the average balance, and so on and so forth. So this Egg Harbor Township contract is expected to come out for bid not later than March, and let's just see what the term of the contract is. Looks like they typically structure it as a one-year base with 4 one-year options, and there's no reason why they would be likely to change that if they have a procurement leading up to this March. And Mike, I just want to see if we have questions about this particular contract.
I don't see any about this particular contract. There is a question that came in that I wanted to put to your attention. How do you know if they're really looking for a new agency or just putting an RFP out there because they're required to every so many years?
So that is a great question. And what we typically do during the bid process is we will submit questions to the buyer asking them directly, are you satisfied with your current incumbent? So what we're not, what we can ask is, are you just doing this because you have to do it by statute? And because they won't answer that question. But what they will say is, yes, we're very happy with our vendor. Or they might say, you know, we're always interested in looking at new opportunities or considering alternate approaches. So sometimes they will directly answer that question. And then you can use other information available to you, either information you've collected or information on our site, to determine, are you getting the news, the actual fact, or are you getting the weather, which is the snow job? And so you can triangulate that by looking at some of these other documents. And so when I see something where the contract maybe didn't go all the way out to 5 years, and if I see something where they have shown an inclination to replace a vendor in the past, then to me, those are two pluses in the column for whether or not I should bid. So then the question becomes, are you yourself competitive? If you think that price won't be the only factor, are you competitive? And so what you can find out, at least in most states, is you can get a copy of what the vendor submitted. And it looks like this is, and this is actually a mislabeled document. Let me just open up a different example. So this is just an example of the actual proposal that was submitted by the vendor. And you can start to read a little bit about your competition and see, well, what are the attributes that the company that won in the past, what attributes do they have? And do we stack up? So for example, does this company have an office in New Jersey? Or do they have 100 court fine contracts on their client list? Or do they look like a company that you could compete with anywhere? And that might help you make that decision. So if there are no questions about this particular contract, Mike, I'm just going to move on to the second.
Sounds good.
Okay. So now, get rid of this. Okay. The second contract that we were going to look at today is for, I believe, court day with the state of Arizona. So this is, by contrast, something closer to the West Coast, and this is not a tiny municipality. This is a larger state, and this is a statewide contract for what tends to be a highly liquid debt. So what we're going to do is we're going to click over to that contract, and let's just take a look. So it looks like we put in here that the procurement in 2015 was for Class 1 collections and first-party customer service Class 2. 15% recovery rate is a key performance indicator. We have some companies that were awarded in 2011. It looks like three were awarded in 2011. And in 15, they awarded several more companies. So they expanded their vendor roster from three to, it looks like, six or seven, which feels like a big deal in terms of whether or not there's an opportunity. So just looking at this list, and some of you may know this too, there's at least one company that was awarded in 2015. On this list here that is actually no longer in business. So at a minimum, one of the vendors is turning over. So then, I should probably go to the business details. And let's just look at some of the other numbers here. So it looks like they give out over $1 million a month in placements, 2,500 accounts, average balance $400. So it's all right there. And then what you can do is cross-reference what we're putting in the system to where it came from in the documents, because anything we put into the system in terms of a distinct or a discrete number tracks back to something we have in a document that we can point to. And so there's a treasure trove of information here from the 2015 process that shows everything from the amendments and the bid documents and then the contracts themselves. So there may be things that you might try to find out during the sales process that may cause you to decide that this is not an opportunity. So if we open these contracts, we might see things such as minimum insurance requirements.
Nick, not to interrupt, but you have to share that part of your screen.
Yes, my apologies. Let me do that.
That's okay.
And that would be here, I believe. So do you see a list of contracts?
Yep, now we see it.
Okay, good. So you might see in these contract documents things that might make you decide this is not an opportunity, such as minimum limits on insurance that you might not meet. You might see minimum hours of operations and you're not interested in changing your hours. So the contracts themselves, and in this case, they would all be the same, would help you figure out, is this something that you would want to pursue? Let me go back to the browser. And what was really interesting about this contract, which by the way, is also coming out in the first quarter of next year, is that they held what's called a BAFO process, a best and final offer bidding process. This is a form we were able to obtain showing the pricing of all the bidders. Let me just pick one. So here is a company by the name of Argonne Agency, and this would be their line item pricing. And I'm pretty sure these dollar signs, I remember looking earlier, they just use dollar signs here. These are actually percentages. If you look back at the proposals of the winners, you see these are expressed as percentages. They must have typed this into a form and it was automatically a dollar sign. And what's interesting is that it seems that every time the state of Arizona comes out with a bid, they have a BAFO process. And I'm sure many on the line are aware of what a BAFO process is, but let me just explain if there might be a few who don't. So BAFO would be best and final offer. And so what they did was they had a list of vendors that they were interested in doing business with. And let me just see if I can get back to this. All right, now I need to do a new share. All right, Mike, do you see me moving my mouse?
I do.
Okay, good. So they went back to those companies that they were interested in hiring and they said, what is the rate that you will charge us? You know, we know that you submitted a rate, but what's the best you can do? And you've all seen that before. So those documents are also available. And in looking at these documents, what we found out, here, let me just zoom in on this. So this particular company, So Progressive has provided pricing information for class one and class two. So what we found out through the process is, and let me just see if I can find that page, most of the vendors did not change their pricing. And I think I was looking at, let me actually pull up a different one. Okay. And let me just make sure I'm sharing the right thing here. Looks like it. So that was on page 100.
I see Transworld's best and final offer proposal.
So if I go to page 101, they actually turned on track changes. So you can actually see how they changed their original proposal. And here was the answer that Transworld gave on the pricing. So they simply said, our first rate was our best. We put our best foot forward. That is our best rate. So they kept their pricing the same. So what you find out is the BAFO process is sort of perfunctory, and it wasn't an opportunity to exclude people. They did not simply hire companies that reduced their price. So that act of not changing their price could easily result in tens of thousands of dollars in revenue that is not lost, or that could have been lost, had they panicked and reduced their rate. But this is evidence that if you mine these documents, you can not only win the contract, but win it at your rate and not leave anything on the table. So I just want to stop and take any questions about this particular contract, and I will go to the dates tab here. So if anyone wants to jot down when we expect the contract out, it's right here at the bottom.
You did say that this was something coming out in the first quarter of next year, correct?
Correct, and we expect to see it by February. Now, the way we estimate these is, in this case, it looks like the release date of the bid was in February of that year. So I think it took them up to a year to get these contracts in place, and I remember looking at these contracts earlier in the case of Arizona and seeing that it looked like this wasn't a good match for this demo, but then I studied it and saw, Well, yeah, it was actually almost a year between when the bid came out and when the contract started. So this is a good match. If you bid on this in February of 2020 and you win, you would probably get business in February of 21.
Now, would you recommend that, like we talked earlier with the last contract about reaching out and asking sort of how satisfied they are, would now be the time to do that with this particular contract, or would you wait and do it in February?
So now would be the time to ask lots of different people their thoughts on the contract. I remember previously hearing that this buyer, and I don't know if the same person is there anymore, has been receptive to people visiting their operation. Because they deal with agencies, and so many agencies, they have been receptive to on-site visits. So it's really the difference between someone calling and saying, hey, do you hire collection companies? That would be one question you could ask. The other question you could ask would be, well, in 2015, I know you hired 6 companies, and I know their rates ranged from 15 to 19%, and I know one of them went out of business. How many opportunities are there on the contract? So you're showing a great deal of knowledge to that person who has an influence on whether or not you're hired, and you're not simply pumping them for information, which I'm sure they're tired of giving out, because you already know most of what there is to be known, because that information is available to you and you've acted on it prior to making your sales call. And absolutely, you should try to do that before the bid process. Once the bid process starts, the cone of silence goes up and everything must be asked through the bid process, and that's to the exclusion of any other contact with people aware of the contract and state government. So I see there are not new questions. I'm going to jump to the next contract only because we're at a half hour and I did promise I'd have everybody off in an hour. Here's a third opportunity. And this is, and I assume, Mike, you'll just tell me if you can't see the browser, but this is Jacksonville, Florida.
Yep.
And this contract was very interesting to me because I was very surprised to see when I opened a scoring document, there was only one company on that document. And I then looked more closely to see, well, is that true? And what we found out was that there was only one bidder on this contract. So we keep tabs on who the bidders are. So in the life cycle of a contract, there might be several iterations. This lists the current or the most recent winner or winners. But if the contract's been in our system for more than 10 years and there have been 3 procurement cycles, you might see 3 or 4 other names here. So the documents show that there's only been one instance of this contract before and that there was only one bidder in that one instance. So what you could easily do is study this contract, and I'll just look at the date on this. And it looks like we're expecting this contract out next month. Although at the state and local level, even for a town like Jacksonville, it might go a little bit longer than that because they may not always need as much time to get contracts in place. But we expect this contract out in the next month or two. And what you'd be able to do is see what's in the contract, see what's in the vendor's proposal, and see if the rates and the contract terms are in line with what you would do or be willing to do, and decide, well, based on the fact that there was only one bidder in 2016, should we do this again? Let me just look at the date here. So what we see oftentimes is that certain times of the year will end up yielding many bid processes where there are not lots of bidders. So lots of companies who were probably qualified to bid on this Jacksonville contract in 2016 didn't do it because the bid writer probably took off for 2 weeks at the end of the year. Or maybe there were so many other things happening at year end. They just said, you know what, we can't start this bid until January. And so therefore, we're just going to skip it. The end result being there was just one bidder. All right, I just want to take a moment and see what questions there are.
Now, this debt or this particular opportunity says medical collection. Can you drill down and sort of find out what type of medical debt or any other additional information about what's going to be collected?
Yes. And so there are 24 different types of debt that our system recognizes, and there are four in the healthcare arena, and one of them is ambulatory debt. So in this case, it is ambulatory debt. And it looks like they give out a lot of it every month. Fee's about 18% now, with a 30% legal fee on top of that. We've seen EMS fees as low as 15, 14% at times. So if they are interested in changing vendors or considering a lower rate, this would be one where, you know, the recent market could support rates a little bit lower than 18%. Not that anyone on this call would want it at 18%, but that's what historically you could see. And I just want to take a moment and switch gears about rates. Every time we get documents in the public domain showing what happened with a bid, we put in the line item pricing of each vendor, whether they won or lost. So I just have a screen here showing the state of Arizona bid from 2015. So if you do spend time and you do determine that the state of Arizona is a contract that you'd like to pursue, you can go back to our site and not only see, well, not only what were the rates proposed by the winners, and that would be the gold trophies here, what were the rates proposed by the losers and how do they differ? And did the lower rates tend to be successful or not? And then what you can also do is you could search on these same companies and say, okay, well, Southwest Credit may have proposed 18% back in 2015, but what did they propose in 2018 on a similar contract in New Mexico or California or Texas? And you could do that by researching individual competitors or types of competitors. You could say, show me pricing on state tax debt in 2018. And if there are any results in the public domain, they would show up. And all of that is exportable. So then you can start slicing and dicing it in Excel to decide which rows are the most relevant. The last contract, let me just see that we still have no additional questions. The last contract I see here, or the one last one I was hoping to talk about, this interface is a little squirrely at times. Here it is, Contra Costa, California. So Contra Costa, California, let me just go to the rate or the date tab on that. And I know someone asked a question about, do they just award to the lowest bidder? This one looks like it's also expected to come out in March. And this would be a good example. In the last few examples we saw, rate is not the primary driver, but I think in this case it is. Let me just go to the RFP process tab. So this is where we put anything procedural. And it looks like they said that it would be an objective process and that cost would be half of the award. So at least from what people expected to see in 2017, they expected the prices they submitted to be half of the evaluation score. But that turned out not to be entirely accurate. So if I go to the scoring document on that contract, let me zoom in on that. So they did do a matrix on scoring, and they did a comparison, or they did some a mathematical formula to determine the score for different vendors. But lo and behold, the lowest bidder was awarded. And that is probably because the other factors, experience and references, worked out to be about the same. Just so happened that Virtuoso submitted the same price as IC System. But at the end of the day, even though pricing was only half of it, it ended up being the main driver of the award because the other factors were not different enough among the vendors to carry the day. So you would know that by looking at the RFP from 2017, but these documents sure point to that being weighted a lot more, I would suggest, than the 50% that they represent pricing would be as a part of the scoring. And you can only see that by accessing this kind of information, because this is certainly not something they would be able to communicate through the Q&A process. They would simply say, yes, scoring will be 50% determined by price. And they may not even know what they mean by that. We've seen lots of examples where they come up with a formula like this, and they might even do their own math incorrectly. And that brings up a whole host of other issues. So this contra costa contract is expected out. Let me just go to that date again. In March as well. And I think I remember when I was looking at these opportunities, I tried to pick three where people on the call today might have time to still find out about these four if they seem like something they would like to pursue. So all these contracts you can get to on the website by creating a free account, and then you can use your credits to act as discounts on accessing some of these documents or other documents for other types of contracts that you would see. Any of the thousands of contracts we have in this space are viewable. You can at least know about them. And then based on what we have on those contracts, you can decide whether or not to purchase access to them. So if you have a free account, you would see a list of all of these documents and then decide if you'd like to use your credits toward downloading any of them.
Nick, we did have a question that came in.
Yep.
Sorry.
And let me go through that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yep. Is it possible to review historical performance of a vendor?
Yes, it is. And there are two different ways that happens. In the Q&A process, every time a bid comes out, we submit questions that try to get to that. So, for example, if you want to know what's the historical liquidation of the vendor, if we have that information already, we do not ask that question because most of the companies that compete in government already use our site. So we're giving an advantage to our clients, and maybe no one else will submit questions, and then our clients have that information. The other way that comes out sometimes, when we do an open records request, we will ask for a performance report. So this is not an example because we don't have that information in this case, but lots of times when you see these documents on our site, you might see proposals for 2017, but they didn't complete the open records request. They didn't give us these documents until 2018. So they might include a performance report from the agencies or about the agencies, because once the government has those documents, they're owned by the government, and we're able to post performance reports showing, in some cases, batch track reports. And you know, so that information can be very helpful.
Okay, that's all the questions that come in store, but I have one last question for you. I know the site's called MyGovWatch, and there is a fair amount of government debt that the site does have, but there's sort of maybe like a expectation, I guess, that people think they need to sort of have some kind of government approval or, you know, when bidding on these types of contracts. But, you know, from what I've seen so far and what we've seen in the webinars you've done with us in the past, you know, what's on your site is really open to anybody, that's involved in the credit collection, you know, industry, correct?
That is true. And typically, you can take them at their word when they put something in writing. So for example, if it says in the bid documents, we only want to receive bidders if you have an office in our state, you should take them at their word. But if there's nothing restrictive in the bid documents, and there's nothing that would automatically knock you out, then you should take that as a sign that there's no reason why you should not bid. At that point, it's only a question of who else do you expect to bid and what do they look like? And that information is available on the site. So it's the ultimate tool to let you quickly figure out if there are 300 opportunities per year, which 30 should I even bother looking at? And out of those 30, which 10 should actually have a bid submitted? So it's a tremendous way to save yourself time.
Another question asking how often the site is updated.
Every 15 minutes or so, I can guarantee that there's new information being added to the site. So we're constantly not only adding new leads for bids that are out today, and that's this list. Let me go to that. So we're constantly adding new opportunities, and I think there's about 15 that are out for bid now, and this is what we have. And you can see this list without paying us a dime. This is what's free on the site. You can see a list of what's out for bid. And then every day we're also adding information that's coming into us after the awards are made. So there might have been a bid from May where we just got documents showing who they picked and why. So even though it's several months later, you can still learn from that process. And then if everyone forgets about that bid in 3 years, those documents will be there to help you decide in 3 years, now should you bid on it or should you maybe skip this time?
Okay. Another question that's come in. Does it say that before you buy it, that you need to be in their state in order to bid?
So our site offers the leads for free, and there are two ways that you can access that information. If we have the documents, the bid documents, in an automated way, you can do what's called a free download, where you don't have to give us a credit card, you don't have to use any credits to get that information. Or you can do a premium download, which puts us on the hook not only to give you the documents, but also it lets you submit questions to the buyer through the site, and it puts us on the hook to make sure you get the addendums through the bid process. So you can get at that information if we have the documents in an automated way. You can have that for free, or you can pay us a couple of bucks and have it. And then you can also research on the internet and try to find the bid documents. In some cases, you might find them. But there are multiple ways to get at that. But even if you pay us for a premium download, it's literally a few dollars.
Okay. Another question asking if the system is, if your system is pulling in data from different sources.
We are aggregating information from tens of thousands of government buyers at this point, and it's all over the country, and it's fully automated. So ultimately, we're sourcing the data from the government agencies themselves, at least the lead data, and the back-end data on who was awarded and why is a highly manual process where we're completing formal processes that each government agency has. So the front end of the process, identifying the leads, is automated. The back end involves people and processes.
Got it. I know that we've kind of gone through a ton of information today, and you've done a great job showing, you know, exactly how much is available on the site. Maybe some people it might be overwhelming to some people. Before we wrap up, any advice about sort of how to get started, or where people should sort of look to first as they come to the site and try and navigate their way through it?
I would say this. Before we launched or relaunched the site more than a year ago, it was very hard to get transparency in these markets. But since we relaunched the site, there's literally no reason not to have a login to the site. So your first step would be create a free login at mygovwatch.com. You will start to get one email per day showing you what the leads are. And you may see enough over the course of time where you might start buying credits on the site to access different things to decide whether you should continue doing it that way or whether you should buy what's called a premium contract that gives you unlimited access either to everything in government or everything within utility or student loan or healthcare or even in a handful of states. So, but it all starts with awareness on what the opportunities are, and there's never been a better time to have a free account because it costs you nothing. And I just want to switch over and show my, I'm going to show Microsoft Word again and put my information here.
Good idea.
And I'll just leave that there as we sort of wrap up.
Awesome. Excellent. Well, you know, do you have any concluding remarks, any summary of what you went through today before, you know, as we wrap up, any parting words of wisdom?
Yes, I would say this. Whether you use our site or not, there is an opportunity for everyone. If your company is a legitimate company, you have legitimate infrastructure, you have other clients and other references, there is an opportunity for you. The biggest mistake people make is bidding on things that they can't win. So that's really why people use our site, is so that if there are 300 opportunities per year, they don't spend 300 hours determining which contracts to bid on. They spend seconds at a time determining whether to stop looking at something or keep going. So find the ones that you can bid on, and those are typically, if you don't have a lot of experience, they will be smaller opportunities, and they will be opportunities where price is the main driver. So you may not like bidding on the basis of price, but if you want to get your foot in the door, it's a great way to do it, because if they don't put anything in the procurement that makes it restrictive, and you are the lowest bidder, then they have to give you the contract.
Awesome. Excellent. Well, Nick, thank you so much for sharing your time and walking us through MyGovWatch today. I really appreciate that. Thanks to MyGovWatch for sponsoring today's webinar. You know, like Nick said, anybody who signs up today gets 10 free credits. So you have nothing to lose by going to the site now and signing up for free and taking a look at what it has to offer. And I hope everybody does.
Create your account, and if for some reason we miss it, please just give me a call or send me an email reminding me that you did that, and we'll populate your account. And I would just point out that that Ed probably participated on this call more than anyone. So Ed, if you create your account, we're going to give you 20 free credits.
There you go. Good job, Ed. Thanks to everybody who participated, especially Ed. Thanks to everybody who asked questions. I hope you got what you were looking for, and I hope everyone stays tuned to accountsrecovery.net for news and more webinars in the very near future. Everyone enjoy the rest of the day. Nick, thank you so much. Great job.
Hey, thank you, Mike. We'll be in touch. Have a good day, everyone.
All right. Bye. Take care.